Now, I'm not sure about your household, but there is a regular conversation that happens in our household around this time of the year. It goes something like this. What do you want for Christmas? Husbands and wives, are those the questions that you ask each other at this time? What do you want for Christmas? Or what do you need for Christmas? In our house, we've gotten into the habit of asking so that the person gets what they want or what they need. Nothing worse than getting a gift that is unwanted or unneeded. So each year, as Christmas approaches, it's usually a case of wish list fulfillment. What is that thing that I have wanted most that may be a bit expensive that I can't justify buying? Well, I can just get it for myself for Christmas. Isn't that what we all do? Yeah, I see some heads nodding out there. Sometimes we may even order it ourselves and just get the other one to wrap it. This can make Christmas pretty painless because we don't have to go through the process of dropping hints, trying to mind read, trying to buy that gift which was not wanted. This year we're doing it differently. This year we've given each other a $50 cap and we have to get what we think the other one wants or needs. And I have yet to see whether my gift will be successful. Now, gift giving has become a central part of Christmas. And it can be a great sense, it can have a great sense of joy or frustration. Many times we have given or received gifts that are useless, neither needed nor wanted. How many gifts have been agonized over only to be rejected or despised? It is with this aspect of gift-giving in mind that I would like us to consider what Christmas means. Here is an interesting thought experiment. If I had to ask you if you could have anything for Christmas, what would it be? If you could have anything for Christmas, what would it be? This is an interesting thought experiment because it reveals what we think we need. Or what we think we want. We all love the idea of Aladdin's lamp. I remember when I first heard the story of Aladdin's lamp and the whole amazing notion that perhaps I could find a lamp and there'd be a genie inside that would give me 3 wishes. And there I was on the school ground with my friends, and you probably did what I did. You worked out that you had to ask for an infinite number of wishes. Did you get that? Did you get there too? Because then you knew it wasn't just 3. Because then we could have all the things that we could ever want and make our wildest dreams come true. We all want our heart's desires to be satisfied. So some of us might make a good choice if we had an infinite number of wishes or if we could have any Christmas wish fulfilled. But some of us might make really stupid choices. How many horror stories have we heard of people who have thought they knew what they wanted and they wished for things that ended up destroying their lives? When I was a child, I also heard the story of King Midas. Do you know the story of King Midas? It's a Greek myth. It's not true. He was granted a wish by the god Dionysus, and he wished that everything he touched would turn to gold. And he was granted his wish. And he thought this was fantastic. And he walked through his garden and he touched all the flowers. And whoa, all the flowers turned to gold. And he thought this was great. And then he sat down to eat. And all of his food turned to gold. And he realized that perhaps this wasn't the best, most well thought through wish to have. And then his daughter, sad because all the flowers had turned to gold, ran to him. Daddy, daddy, all the flowers have turned to gold. And he rushed to take her in an embrace to comfort her. And his daughter turned to gold. And so he killed his daughter and finally he starved to death. What a lovely children's story. Why do we tell these things to our kids? Anyway, I'm sure there's a lesson in there somewhere. Now, I'm sure that you have tried, as I have tried, about how do you get around the restrictions of those 3 wishes? How do you have the ability to turn things into gold and still have the ability, still have the ability to eat? Maybe someone else could feed you. Have you ever thought of that? You know, we all think that we know how we would get around those restrictions. Driven by our desires, we all think we can escape the outcome of our Faustian bargain. Tragically, this is what our lives are like when we negotiate with sin. We think we know what we need. We think we know what we want. We trust to our own wisdom. We trust to our own hearts. And as a result, we turn from God and His wisdom. So here's another thought experiment. We have seen what it would look like and what it looks like when we decide for ourselves what we need or what we want, and we often don't get things right. Here is the other thought experiment. If God were to give you one gift that you didn't know that you needed, or you didn't even know that you wanted, what would that gift be? And that's really what Christmas is all about. The greatest gift that we need and that God has given is His Son, Jesus Christ. The greatest gift that we did not know our hearts wanted, because frankly our hearts are broken and we want all the wrong things. What our hearts are made for is Jesus Christ. And so at this Christmas time, as we think about giving, I want you to remember the gift of Christ. I want you to think about those familiar words, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." Because of sin, Christ is the gift that we need. We have all sinned. We have all broken God's law. We have all turned our backs on Him. And we are a ceaseless stream of sin. If you just look in the Bible at one of the reasons why God sent the flood in judgment, one of the reasons is because the thoughts of men's hearts were evil continually. That's the thing that's highlighted at the time of the flood. Looking at our lives, we are an endless source of sin in thought, in feeling, in motive, in word, in deed, in desire. Instead of the good, we want the bad. Instead of the natural, we want the unnatural. Instead of the holy, we want the unholy. Instead of the right, we desire the wrong. And of course, there will be consequences. There will be a reckoning. There will be a judgment. But God loves sinners. And He does not seek to punish us, but to save us. And that's what John 3:16 is all about. Our greatest need is not more money. It's not having 3 wishes and a lamp that we can get around all the restrictions in. It's not having our greatest ambition fulfilled or our dreams coming true. We need a sin bearer. Jesus was born of a virgin in order to be sinless. He lived a perfect life of law-keeping on our behalf, and He went to be executed like all those who sin against God. But God is gracious, and He has sent His Son to be received. Like a gift, you don't have to buy it. Like a gift, this wonderful gift of salvation and forgiveness is free for any who will willingly take Christ. Christ is offered freely to all. Any who will see their sins, turn away from their sins, and put out their hands asking for mercy, they will receive it. Jesus is the gift you need, but He's also the gift you didn't know you wanted. You think you know what you want, but friends, our hearts and our desires are broken. They have so often led us astray. If any of you have any life behind you, you've already experienced the way that we have self-deceived, the way that we have willingly believed the lies of sin and turned to sins that have not satisfied, left with ashes in our mouths. We have harmed ourselves, we have harmed our loved ones, but God has made us to be in a relationship with Himself, and you will never be satisfied until you are doing what you are made for, which is to be in a relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. So at this time, as you think about the gifts you want and the gifts that you need and the gifts that your loved ones want and that they think they need, think about the gift that God knows we need and has made us to want, the Lord Jesus Christ.